interrupting Pete. He was just about to bust my balls for using some big words. I can't spell them. I can just use them.
And really, it's only because your wife has taught them to you.
Oh, nice. You're starting so early. I got to stretch first.
Is that a Burton Cummings shirt there, Andrew?
No, that is just a Burton snowboards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's so less cool now that I know that it could have been a Burton Cummings t-shirt.
Oh, I know.
Stand tall, Andrew.
Such a sellout.
And here I thought I was being so cool by, you know, wearing this old school snowboard shirt.
You're such a corporate shill. Man.
Look at that. Look at those Walmart headphones.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a first-rate podcast.
That's
How many
right.
listeners do we have now?
I think, I don't know. We get about 25, 26, maybe.
Everyone has to start somewhere, right?
Well, exactly. Exactly. So I appreciate you jumping on though this afternoon with us, Pete.
Oh, anytime, Andrew.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how was your vacation? Yeah.
Oh, good.
Wait, shouldn't we save this for the podcast? Or is this it? Is this the podcast? No.
I listened to a couple of your podcasts.
Oh, did you?
And
thank you.
I was really impressed. Like it's like, why? How come they don't have any more, you know, listeners? Like
it's because we just started. We only posted it after the first three shows were actually done. And then we've posted one other one since then. And now we've got you. So
and also I'm holding Andrew back
a little bit. Yeah.
A
why?
Little bit.
Do you have a point? Sure because you have a porn voice?
Because we have what?
Lance, you have a porn voice. You look like.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell, Pete. Please say more. I'm gonna.
That's
you,
the last thing Lance needed to hear.
I'm gonna go and grow a mustache. I'll be right back.
Lance Dawson, is that your stage name?
Oh, see, now there you go. Here it comes. No, that's, you know what? And sadly, people say that to me. Is that your real name? Like. Of course, it's my real name.
It is not.
I'm a gay cowboy. What do you want?
You've got good parents. You got cool parents. Oh, gave you a stage name.
Yeah, even though you look like a Dave.
No, you know what? Better than a Derek. Okay, I'll take it.
True, and a Kevin.
These are the Daves I know. One of the best.
Oh, there's an old reference. That's
do you remember
crazy.
That from the?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great video, right?
Yeah, it's what are their names? The Canadian sketch comedy guys.
I was going to say the New Kids on the Block. That's not
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's,
that's them.
Kids in no.
Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. That's right.
Yeah, with the Shadowy Man and the Shadowy Planet did the music for that song.
That was awesome. I feel, though, that ever since I was a kid, if I met somebody with an accent within like 15 minutes, I'd be unconsciously... I was subconsciously mimicking them. And now I feel as we go on, I'm going to try to mimic Pete's mellifluous second time today, the voice.
I'm going to do Andrew's. Hey guys, where's
yeah, I love it.
Where's oh these guys? My God. Mel Blanc just entered. There you go.
You pretty much got it. He's been listening to too many shows, clearly. He's pretty much bang on.
There you go. So are we going to start this thing, Andrew?
Yeah,
this
maybe. You want to do like a little intro to the show, Lance? And
I
just to just get us there.
Stage low down.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Backstage Lowdown, where my buddy Andrew Stewart and myself, Lance Dawson, get to speak to lots of talented people about what they do, how they do it, why they do it, and maybe we get to learn a little bit about them, their lives, and get some insight into how they became so gosh darn talented. Anyway, today we've got an amazing show because we've got an amazing guest, Pete Fowler from CFNY Days. And of course, of late, the Lost Indie City is joining us. But I'm gonna let that be the intro to the show. Andrew, tell us a little bit more about this guest that you got. I'm going to go work on my radio voice because Pete's killing it today.
Well, he's got years of practice. I mean, gosh, I was listening to Pete back probably right from the time that he started on 102. So a long time listener of his show. And when I found out that he was local to us, I happily reached out, and he was kind enough to say yes to jump on the show with us. So welcome to the show.
Well, no, thank you, Lance and Andrew. I really appreciate it. It's actually quite an honor. It's not every day I get invited to a podcast. And I met you, Andrew. What?
Yeah. Two years ago at Strummerfest.
And you are a fantastic photographer.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. But yeah, I'm honored to be here, and especially with you, Andrew. Lance, not so much. I'm warming up.
No, I can't wait till Strummerfest gets going live again. It would be great to get out and help those folks out. They're doing good things over there.
They're doing amazing things there.
Well, let's tell you more about that. What's Strummerfest? Fill me in.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, no, for sure. So it is a local concert series that really focuses on the memory of Joe Strummer. And they have some great bands that come in throughout the province. And actually, this past year, they did it virtually. And so there was bands from all over the world that joined in on that. And so it's really to raise awareness for mental illness and those that are struggling, that are homeless and find themselves in bad situations. It's a kind of close to the heart for everybody that's involved. So it's a great thing to be involved with. I volunteer to go out and do photography for them. Mm-hmm. Then Pete's radio station is a big supporter as well.
Yeah, Joe Strummer of The Clash, Lance. I don't know if you're a fan of The Clash, but Joe Strummer was about, you know, community and acceptance. You know, he didn't like the labels like punk and stuff. But what he took from punk is he gave it its own definition with regards to, you know, punk is treating your fellow person with kindness and acceptance. And Joe Strummer was always supportive of things like initiatives like mental health, like homelessness. And what a great memory of Joe to be tied in with all the great music that Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros and The Clash did, and bring all these a variety of independent bands from right across Canada. Like they had 23 bands 2 years ago pre-COVID. And it's wonderful. It's free. It's a free event. But you can donate money to all these great causes while enjoying a weekend of great Canadian music.
That's awesome. Yeah, I am a big fan of Joe Strummer's. I saw a mural one time in New York City of Joe Strummer on a wall, and it was just the coolest thing. I'm assuming somebody on the street had done it, and they were quite the artist. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Here's an aside. Pete, you'll know that every once in a while, you said you listened to a couple of our episodes, and I apologize for that. But anyway, once in a while, we go down a rabbit hole and we talk about, you know, guitars and music and stuff. And Fender just got a lot of backlash last year because their custom shop released a Joe Strummer, I think it was a Telecaster. Anyway, it's like really, really expensive. Like I can't remember, it was like $8,000 or $10,000 or something. And so a lot of musicians stood up and said, this is ridiculous. Joe Strummer would never have given his name to something so elitist. You know what I mean? Like that just boxed out a ton of musicians from buying it. And so to your point, Pete, about who Joe Strummer was, it was interesting that on a corporate level, somebody got some backlash for using his name and, you know, they were trying to celebrate him, but in doing so, they kind of missed the mark.
Oh, absolutely. They would have missed the mark with that, right? Unless all the profit or proceeds went to something that Joe supported and that his memory would be tied to that, then yes. But if it's just going to Fender's pockets, then no, right?
Right. I don't remember. I think if I had read read an article about the guitar and then, you know, the following post that they got lots of feedback, and I do not recall any type of charitable act being associated with that.
Yeah. So one side story of Joe Strummer, he used to, I remember when he came to, there was a big record store. I forget what it called. It's not HMV. It was a chain that started in England and I forget. And it's no more.
Sunrise?
No, not Sunrise, but it was, they had a huge store on the corner of Queen and Yonge Street in Toronto, yellow, they have yellow signage.
And been Tower Records.
Then Tower, that. That's it.
Was it Tower? Okay.
Yeah, the first Tower Records opened up, I think, Queen and Young in like 94, 95 or something like that. And Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros came down to sign records. And Joe took the time to talk to everybody and sign all the records and all the Clash stuff and all the Mescalero stuff. And one of his guitarists, one of his bandmates, what he would do is after Joe and the rest of the band signed, he would be kind of a dick and sign right across all their signatures. Right. And then my friend who's in a band called The Lucky Ones, who played Strummerfest, he's going,
oh, great band.
Yeah. It's going, oh, I can't believe he did that. And Joe looked at his guitarist and said, stop being a dick. Where's another record? We're going to do this right for the guy, you know? So I thought that was really, really cool. You know?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't like people being dicks. So.
No, that's awesome. So now Pete, you're doing the Lost Indie City show over at CKWR. You can find it on 98.5. What's that show all about?
The show I started with, similar to you and Lance, like my co-host, Greg, I've known him since I was 13. We grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo together, and he became, you know, a music producer. He went to Fanshawe for music production, worked with some of the greats, and I went, you know, to radio stations. And so we wanted to do a show. We did a show like that back in like 89, 90, 91, before I got hired by CFNY in 92. That was alternative, like a heavy alternative show. So we're playing Nine Inch Nails. We're playing like, you know, Alice in Chains and all that stuff before it became really, really popular. And we did that. I sent my cassette tape of our show to CFNY and they hired just on the strength of that cassette tape at CKWR. Right. And so Greg and I wanted to start doing it again, you know, where we pick the music and have the listeners have a say and they, you know, pick about 80% of the music. And it's just a 2-hour show Saturday night at between 6 and 8 p.m. on 98.5 CKWR. You can listen to it on CKWR.com. And we're playing like over 45 years of alternative music. 99% of it doesn't get played at all anymore on any radio station or never did. So
that's awesome.
You'll hear bands where it's like, oh geez, Ned's Atomic Dustbin populates itself, and then you'll hear, oh that's an obscure song from Pavement, right? So it's really celebrating this music that really doesn't have a voice anymore, or maybe never did. And we just love playing that type of music, or what I consider our type of music.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Like I still continue to listen to 102.1, but honestly, their format has changed. To be honest, I will hear songs that are playing on 102 that you can also hear on Chime. And that tells me they've missed the mark.
Yeah.
or that just their formatting has changed slightly. But to tune into your show and listen to the stuff that you're putting out, you know, it takes me back in time.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And that's part of it, as well as to introduce people to music maybe they haven't heard of. And it could be new or it could be old, where it's like, oh geez, that's the House of Love, you know, or the Charlton, yeah. Or, you know, introduce people. Because back in the day, there was really only one or two stations. There was CFNY, there's 89X that started back in the early 90s. And that was about it for commercial alternative radio. So if you're a commercial alternative radio announcer, like, you know, myself or Mae Potts, Alan Cross, Martin Streak, Humble and Fred and stuff, then you only have a couple of places to go. And for me, like, you know, CFNY was the only place I could go, or that I wanted to go to, where I thought, I want to be part of this station's history, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, at the top of the food chain. So
yeah, you mentioned Humble and Fred. I actually, when they left 102, I followed them over to their AM station. And unfortunately, I was actually living downtown Toronto at that point. And even downtown Toronto, the signal wasn't coming in that well for that station. Mm. And at times it would cut in and cut out, and it would make it difficult to listen to. I still love the guys. They put on a great show.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was when they went over to 640, right?
Yeah.
When it was like talk 640 or whatever it was. Yeah. It's tough. You know,
anybody want to explain what AM radio is for anybody?
it's where music goes to die, and
right,
and it's news and sports.
You know. And what about those 8 tracks?
How old are you, Lance?
Oh, I'm only 22. Look at me, man.
Look at you, hairpiece.
Yeah, hairpiece. So nice.
I still remember having an 8-track converter, so then I could play my tapes in the 8-track player in my car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, made by Electro Home in Kitchener.
Exactly.
They make great coasters now, though. You know, I have one from Deep Purple and an old 8-track. It was really
That's cool. Awesome.
You know what's really neat though about, you know, Pete, just to address your Lost Indie City. We were talking to another musician a while back, and we were just talking about I'm trying to remember the uploading service that they're talking about 60,000 new songs a day are uploaded onto this, and so there's a tsunami of music out there. Absolutely too much. Not all of it is good, but you know, you can get lost finding whatever you like. And that was just a reminder that, boy, there's a whole host of stuff that was created many, many moons ago that is first rate. Maybe they're B cuts, maybe they never made it on air to CFNY, but there's just a whole host of music that, even if we weren't still creating music at the level we are now, can go down a rabbit hole and discover that you've never heard of before.
Oh yeah. You use the, what do you call the algorithms of Spotify and the suggestions that it makes for you based on the songs that you've played before that you've liked, or, you know, put a heart beside it. And it's like, holy smokes, this is amazing. What's this band, Camp? Oh, what a great, the Editors. Oh, these are great bands. Why do I not know these bands? Well, because radio stations, commercial radio stations now play 300 songs. Just 300. That's in their rotation. They'll sub 20 out every month and put another 20 in. But they basically play 300 in a rotation, where back in the day, if we had it at CFY, we played it. So it could be amongst the bins and bins of vinyl, or the drawers and drawers of CDs, or sometimes things were on cart, which is also known as, you know, as an 8-track.
Right.
Like, for example, Sloan's Underwhelmed, before it came out on CD, we had, and same with Bare Naked Ladies, McDonald's Girl, which came from a cassette. We had those on 8-track, or what they call in radio, a cart. So we were playing all those, but now it's 300 songs are loaded into the computer. Some of those stations, especially in Southern Ontario, they're not programmed by anybody in Ontario. They're programmed by somebody in British Columbia, where the corporation resides, its headquarters, right? Mm. So you might get someone programming Kitchener or Toronto or Hamilton that has no idea what that market even enjoys, what the local bands are that might be sound great on the radio, you know? So it's unfortunate, right?
Well, and also the music, I mean, music's a timestamp. We've talked about that all so many times about, you know, obviously you can go back and you can hear a song and you say, oh, that was when I was doing this.
Yeah.
So I always think that music's really interesting because it tells me a little bit, like in the day of a DJ actually picking a song, if I can listen to your show, that kind of gives me some insight into you as well. And now it just doesn't seem like you get to know people, you know, through the music, is like, as you said, it's all selected from outside of our area.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of stations, except for maybe the CBC, where they actually talk about the artist. You know, they talk about their passion for the music. You know, it's just that sort of type of personality radio that revolved around album oriented alternative doesn't necessarily exist, you know, like it used to.
Do you think there's any possibility of getting that back?
I would like to think so. I think it's important, but as we age and short attention spans amongst different generations, I don't know if, you know, as I don't know if we're going to be aged out of that type of radio, right?
I don't know. I feel like there's still room for things for people 30 and over that appreciate good writing and, you know, like learning about the artist, that sort of thing, that maybe younger people are into music.
There absolutely is. I believe it. That's what I want to listen to. That's what most people my age, younger and older, want to listen to when it comes to their music that they love and that is part of their life. It's just, you know, when there's only now three or four corporations that own all the radio stations, and there's not a lot of announcers on the stage. A lot of things are voice tracked. I have a friend named Mike, and he does one show live on one station for a big corporation that I used to work for that owns CFNY. And then he voice tracks three other radio stations, one in Barrie, one in Guelph, one in Cambridge, and then one somewhere else. Like, he's doing four stations. They save a lot of money. They just pay him a salary, and he's on four stations doing four different shifts every day.
Wow.
So that is what radio seems to be now. I have another friend that's on five major market stations right across Canada. She's on in Halifax, she's on in Toronto, she's on in Calgary, she's on in Vancouver, and she just gets paid salary, but is on five radio stations prime time, you know, so, during the week. So
sure.
How do you tailor, like when I'm on CKWR, I talk about Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph, things, right? And growing up,
yeah.
Going to high school there, going to college and university there, and all those things, and all the concerts. But if you're on five different cities and you're not from any of them, there's no local personality type things. Like I still hear in Kitchener.
You can't connect.
You can't connect when someone says, hey, I'm going down to Weber Street in Kitchener. Yeah. Like it's Weber, dude, and it's Weber, it's in German. So, yeah. You know, like it's. Yeah, it's out there, but you know, with program directors always saying, do not talk more than a minute. Do not talk more than 2 minutes. If it starts to sound like shit, stop talking. Like it's almost like, geez, the only time I can talk is about a station promotion or an advertiser or maybe something that we're promoting, and then on to the next thing, right?
Right. Yeah, so. I don't know. That it just seems so so sad. And when you do see things that are, you know, really good writing, I've been telling all my friends about this show of Ted Lasso, because I love it. And the writing on that is awesome. Did I just?
Yeah, you just blacked out, buddy.
Yeah, it's okay.
We still got your voice. That's
I didn't black out, but.
Don't drink so much. Yeah. Everyone that's listening to the audio is going, I just blacked out. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to a friend.
Lance is on the floor.
I don't have a hairpiece. I didn't black
out. It's only 4:30 and he's already out.
Are those your nipples?
Look, just because I like it's a podcast, so I like to do it naked. That's my prerogative.
Jeez. That's okay.
They look like pepperoni.
Nobody can see us. Nobody can see us. It doesn't matter what we're wearing or what we're not wearing, quite frankly.
Who picked this guy? Oh boy.
It's awesome. Now, Pete, you guys, your show just recently presented what you referred to as a small intimate campfire concert under the stars.
Yeah.
That lineup, that was pretty hot.
Yeah. You two should have.
I know.
I captured at 50. I always wanted to, there's shows that that the Lost Angeles City has presented by before, but that was, you know, in venues and really, you know, we're just promoting it on the radio and stuff. I want to take more of an ownership of like, okay, I got a venue, my house, and I have a big backyard. So I thought I'd cap it at 50. I'm allowed 100, but I'll just cap it at 50. And so I called artists that are my friends. So Stephen Stanley, and we used to be in Lois and Lowe, and Blair Packham.
Yep.
From the Jitters and Black Suit Devil, who was originally from Brantford and now lives in Peterborough. And I just love those artists, and just great guys that get along with each other. And so we put on a show where 100% of the proceeds went to those three artists. And we had,
that's awesome.
So not only did we just charge people $20 to, and just all they had to do is bring a chair, and then we would actually take the heat readings on the forehead and the finger just to make sure no one was sick coming in.
It's great.
Even though it was outside, and I have a fire pit because I'm out in the country just outside of Cambridge. And yeah, we just a 3-hour concert. And then we had some different things, like you could buy a row of tickets and put in for different art and CDs and band pillows and stuff. And all that money went to the bands. So it was just really the hunger for live music. I haven't gone to see anything live in a year and a half. And a lot of the shows I was going to go to, whether it was Dino Jr. or Lyle Lovett or House of Love, those were all canceled. So
you brought the concert to you.
I brought the concert to us. Everyone had an amazing time. And next time we'll just broadcast live on CKWR.
Great idea.
Out of that came a whole bunch of other artists that said, I'll come over to your house, Pete. I'll come over to your house. And all these artists from like, you know, the 90s when I was at CY. And so it's like, oh, geez, I'm going to do this once or twice a year, you know?
That'd be awesome.
And I even had to rent a porta potty. I never had to rent it. It's $210 to get a porta potty for a day, you know.
I guess when you have 50 people running around your backyard.
I don't want them in my house, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of nice, though. You got to have more people trying to get live music and introduction to artists and stuff.
And feel safe, too, with, you know, especially we're still in, we're in the fourth wave of the pandemic. Anything you do, it has to be done with safety and care. And how do you provide that type of environment? it, you know, unless you can do it outside, right? So, you know, it was just a great time. And Andrew, I'm disappointed that you didn't, you know, because
you know, I should have been out. I'm sorry. I should have been there with my camera.
Yeah. It's true. I should have.
You know what? Next concert, I'll come out for sure. I mean, you had a great lineup. One of the bands that I wasn't familiar with was Black Suit Devil, which is right. Andy Darego's project. Yeah. I wasn't familiar with them beforehand. And after kind of looking at your lineup, because I didn't know them, I went into a deep dive and just went down a wormhole with those guys. Like I'm loving Andy's voice. It's got that raspy folk rock blues sound, and definitely a dude I want to see live for sure.
Yeah, you need to. It was very interesting being there. And then he's on my deck.
Yeah.
And then Steven comes up to me and goes, is there any effects on his voice? Because I had to go get the equipment from Long Island Quay. And I go, no, right. it's just a PA and a couple of speakers. There's no... It goes, and then Blair comes. He goes, is the drummer singing too? And I go, no, he's not mic'd. And so the way
it's all Andy.
It sounds like two people. When he sings, it sounds like two people.
Yeah.
And that's a very interesting vocal technique. Like when Lance speaks, right? He sounds like three people.
Yeah, none of them are in key. None of them are
and none of them are interesting.
Oh, I love that.
Holy cow. I have to leave to call my mother.
He hits hard.
Build my self-efficacy back up.
No, when I listen to your shows, and I just, you know, a little plug for you, like you guys are really, really good. And Lance, you sound amazing. But that's all I'm going to say now because the rest.
That because didn't say anything about Andrew. But
that's Andrew, okay. You look great. Oh. Cheers.
Yeah. You look, I've been crying, you look myself great. To sleep. If you could just please stop speaking, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I just want to hear a monologue from Lance.
Well,
okay, that's enough.
I just play that as I go to sleep at night.
Yes. Can we make that into a sound bit, like just a loop back and forth?
Yeah. You better believe it.
You do whatever you want.
That would be great.
I have a question for you two, and I don't know if you've covered it on previous episode, but how did you two meet? And how long have you known each other? And
Well, that's interesting, because so I'm a musician in my spare time, and Andrew's so generously come out, and he's actually an official member of the band, because he comes out and takes pictures of us and tries to make us look way better than we are. But my day job is I do massage therapy for athletes and musicians. And so a long time ago, Mr. Athlete over here, I think, kind of stumbled in all banged up. And I think that's how we met, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was trying to rehab my knee at that point. I wasn't able to run anymore. Just any time that I was just reaching at 5K, my leg would freeze up. So that's actually how we ended up meeting and became great friends throughout the process. And
well, I think
now we're doing a show. Yeah, exactly.
There was some therapy, and then
more laughter than treatment, but that's okay.
I don't know about that. Anyway, no, you know what was really great, Pete, is that you know, during the pandemic, of course, there was no live music, and there wasn't a lot of creative outputs for everybody. And Andrew and I had toyed with the idea of torturing the world with our dark sense of humor for a long time. So he had he said, well, hey, this is probably a good time because we don't have anything else to do. And
you guys sound so natural together, Lance. And I'm not goofing on you.
Yeah,
you guys sound extremely natural.
I appreciate that.
Because I've known Greg, my best friend Greg, since we were 13, right? So like over 40, you know, almost 40 years. And when we started back doing the show, if I listen back to the first year, it's like, oh my goodness, we sound not good. And then we progressed as we got more comfortable. And this is someone I've known since I was 13. You guys right out of the box sound good. Like sound really good.
Oh, you are far too kind.
I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, I'm absolutely telling you the truth. And you can edit that out because you're all embarrassed and you turned red or whatever that color is, purple.
Yeah.
And
I go from white to lobster.
So that's really interesting, Lance, that you know, because we all have we all have day jobs, right? Our music's our passion, whether it's playing music, whether it's playing music on the radio, whether it's taking photographs of artists that you enjoy, you know, but we all have something else that we do if we can't pay the bills with our passion, right? So.
No, absolutely. I think that was the trick. I remember when I was younger and I remember hearing some career advice. At the time, I thought it was brilliant because it was cute. And it said, find something that you love to do so much that you would do it for free and try to find a way to make a living at it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. And then as you get older, you realize that's ridiculous because we would all be rock stars and baseball players if that were the case. Or DJs on CFNY. So as I grew older, I thought, well, why don't I try to find something that I like and that I'm relatively competent at? And then if that allows me to pursue the things I really love and am passionate about, then that's a win as well.
And I think now, we did torture a whole lot of friends before we actually started the show. We would have them on and interview them and just to kind of get a feel of what our show should be about and what we wanted to bring to the people.
Yeah.
So I think
Andrew,
that probably
you
really
were braver though. I will say you were braver because that was me. I was like, Andrew, I'm all in. I love working with you and let's do a podcast, but I need to do two or three because we could suck just because we riff off each other and, you know, at lunch over a beer and we think we're just great. You know, that could suck. And so we did two or three because, and Andrew was very patient with me because he was like, right, can we post these now? I'm like, no, not yet.
We're not ready yet.
If you had just brought Pete on to begin with, I didn't know you knew Pete Fowler. If you had just said, Lance, we've got a couple of these. Why don't we let Pete listen? And then he can say one way or the other, right. I would have been much more confident.
Yeah.
Well,
Now
you've heard it and you can go all in now. Quit the day job. This is our job now.
No, I just really, no, I want to be at Pete's next deck party. I want to bring.
No, that's, we're definitely doing that.
Can we do that?
Yeah. You both will definitely be invited. My question is, you mentioned baseball, but who played baseball?
Nobody. Oh, that must have been Lance. Well, the last time I played baseball, I took a hard ball in the right eye.
Well, I didn't know if that was your dream, Andrew, to be a baseball player or a baseball.
Closer to a baseball than a baseball player.
Now, if we start talking about Andrew's dreams, that's a whole other podcast.
And we don't want to go down that aisle.
We don't need them to be on conditions to stay away from playgrounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as I stay on the show, I'm okay. I'm safe. Yeah. This is a safe place, everyone.
Yes.
What are you going to do with that white panel van now, anyway?
What do you mean? I'm converting it into an off-road. I'm going to start up a Van Lifer YouTube channel.
Okay.
So sure. Get rid of all of that.
Puppies sign.
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah, get rid of that freak candy sign.
Pete and I are going down one road here, Andrew. And you're
You clearly are. I'm trying to drive in reverse and not getting
Andrew, anywhere. You are so profiled right now.
Oh, God. I'm never going to be able to speak on air again.
Are you part of a no-fly list or what's happening?
Like, no drive list.
Yeah,
exactly. Flying, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay as long as I don't go anywhere near a schoolyard.
And we are. That's right. And stop wearing cardigans. It's a dead giveaway.
Or Burton shirts.
Not Burton
cardigans. Or combine the two, it's even worse.
Yeah. Do you even own a snowboard while we're at it? Forget, dude, I know we're supposed to be interviewing Pete, but
Now we've gone over to me. Years ago, I actually spent a year out at Red Mountain in BC, and I was just a snowboard bum.
Own a snowboard?
Oh, yeah.
And you know how to use one?
Yeah, I generally ski a little bit more now that I've gotten a little older, and it you know, if I catch an edge, it hurts a lot more. Less likely to do with skis, but... No, I love to snowboard. Get in the cherry pow pow.
Mm-hmm. Dude, whatever. You own a snowboard. What led to you buying the t-shirt? Who cares? I just focus.
It was just, I got to be honest, it felt nice. That's how I buy my t-shirts. Does it have a nice feel? I don't really care what it says on it. Like if it says free candy and it feels good, I'm going to buy it.
Pete, do you want to take that?
Yeah. So enough about Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
I feel like this could be, I think the Pete Fowler and Lance Dawson show has a ring to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm off. I'm off.
I can sub in for Andrew.
No, I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to match an octave. I'm trying to pick an octave that matches Pete's, and incredibly, it's crazy.
If you do that, you're going to put the audience to sleep. I need you to bring it up a bit.
Every time Andrew speaks, it sounds like Mickey Mouse interrupting two deep dulcet tones of.
Pete, do you have friends that ask you to? Can you leave my cell phone message? Can you be that guy? Can you be on my cell phone? Do you get people asking you to do that?
No. They used to back in the day when you would record, like you'd have the machine, right? There's a couple of people I went and actually went to their place to record a message. But back in the day when I started doing overnights at CFY, so you get all different types of people working shift work and things like that, or university and college students studying, or up late at night or after the bars or whatever. The amount of people would call, specifically women, ask me to talk to them. And lower my voice a bit.
Nice.
That's nice.
So you
that is hilarious, actually, that would actually happen.
No, I didn't use it for evil. It was just.
No, I'd say that sounds like evil to me.
I was building rapport and making.
Okay. Right. Building the audience.
Yeah, I was just building the audience. So.
If that's what you want to call it.
It was like, oh, just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pete, tell me what you're wearing right now.
Yeah. Okay. Oh man, this has gone down a very, very bad road. I know. I thought it was bad when you guys were giving me a hard time. This
all
just
three
went...
of us can talk, right? We're all around the same age. Why wouldn't we just go off in various directions, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah. Imagine if this was on the radio. I'd have to play commercials three times already.
Imagine if anyone else listened to this. It gives you a sense of freedom when it's only your mom and mine, Andrew, really.
Well, wait till I forward it. There'll be more than a few.
Oh, my gosh.
But our moms really love us. Actually, my mom didn't listen to the last show, but that's something else.
Mine's very hard of hearing, so...
Your mom's still not sure you're hers.
No, there is a big question out there, and it's been going on for some almost 50 years now.
And given what we just learned, I can't even play this episode for my wife because I can just hear the conversation. Can you have him over just to, you know, talk at dinner time?
Just whisper in my ear.
Would that be okay?
She might just listen to the show over and over again.
She might, and just say, Andrew, can you have Andrew edit like the crap that you two are saying?
just take out your vocals.
Tone the volume down.
Put Pete in.
Yeah.
And just let it roll.
All Pete, all the time.
That's right. Your favorite live show of all time, concert. What is it, Lance? And then Andrew next.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. I think that's one of our questions. How did this happen?
Well, I get
this is like Alice in Wonderland.
Maybe
you
got the list.
What just happened?
No,
Lance, come on.
Someone else's
favorite show.
Favorite show. You're wrecking the flow, Lance.
Okay, sorry.
Let the interview.
Is this like a favorite?
Yes.
Okay, my favorite live music show. You mean
concert?
Concert that you went to.
Oh,
gig.
Favorite concert.
And why was it amazing?
Oh,
you don't know.
That's interesting,
dude. Come on.
Yeah. No. Oh. Well.
It was that great of a show.
My wife and I took a 4-day weekend to Chicago, which I love. I love Chicago in general. And the highlight for me was we got to see one of my favorite bands is Sister Hazel. Oh, and yeah. I don't know if you guys remember them. They're still out and they're still recording and stuff. But they're a successful version of Monday Morning Whiskey, right? They're a bunch of like 45, 50-year-old guys that are just amazing musicians, the harmony, whatever. And so they're playing. I'm definitely of the ilk now that unless it's Springsteen, I don't go to the ACC anymore. I like seeing, you know, smaller venues, intimate. It's cool. If you're lucky, you can get to talk to somebody after the show. Anyway, we went to this large bar, but small venue. Like it wasn't a big concert thing, and Sister Hazel played, and honestly it was just fantastic. It was such a great night, and I let me just juxtapose. I know Pete, you only wanted one. That was awesome because it was a great weekend with my wife and I love Sister Hazel, but the other one is I'm so into Jason Isbell as a writer and a performer, and a buddy of mine and I just flew down to Nashville on a whim And he was playing at the Ryman Auditorium, which if anybody ever gets an opportunity to go and see any artist, I mean, they're not just country in art in Nashville. Ed Sheeran plays there and whatever. But the Ryman is one of the most storied and hallowed ground, but a most amazing places to see any artist. And so we went and saw Jason Isbell play. He just blew the doors down, and it was one of the greatest nights ever musically. So there you go. Sorry, I had two.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, that's okay. Andrew?
Like I was just thinking about all the different shows. One that's very special to me, it was my first live show that I went to.
You were wonderful. You saw Monday Morning.
And I went and saw The Alarm. It was an amazing show, small venue. And you know what, those guys, that they should be way bigger than they are. But anytime that I hear them again on the radio, it brings back memories. Love the Midnight Oil show. I saw that downtown Toronto. That was great. And I mean, you too, I've seen them more than a handful of times over the years. Just the energy that comes with when they start to play, like it just, you can just feel it in your chest. But I mean, those are some of the big shows, but I do love going to see the small bands, you know, the smallest of the small, like Monday Morning Whiskey. You know,
thanks for working that in. Smallest of the small. I appreciate that.
No, like I just really love going out to catch live music. You know, where, and it doesn't matter.
Can we throw it back to Pete though? Because you've interviewed so many amazing bands, one of which we were just talking about before you came on live onto the podcast about with the Soundgarden. What was that like? And Chris Cornell, like that, was that one of, I'm guessing that would be one of your highlights, but maybe not.
Well, I never interviewed Chris Cornell. I interviewed Kim, and I interviewed, what's the name? The drummer, Cameron.
Okay.
So what some of the bands do is that they split up. So example, if you went to interview, if Metallica's coming to interview you, one person gets James, the other one gets, you know, Lars, right?
Right.
And one will go to one station, one will go to the other if they're visiting Toronto. So while we're, you know, while CFY is interviewing, James, Q107's interviewing someone else at the same time from Metallica, right? And with Soundgarden, it was the Soundgarden Nine Inch Nails show at Molson Park in Barrie. So it was an Edge presentation, like 95, 96.
Yeah.
So the artists had split up to talk to different stations, and myself and my co-host, late great Martin Streak, we interviewed Kim Thayil and also Cameron, the drummer from Soundgarden. And they were, I wouldn't say they're not fun to talk to, but they're not fun to talk to. I remember the first time we met, and I've never interviewed Chris Cornell, but the first time he came to our station was about 92, 93,
right,
for just when Bad Motorfinger came out. And I remember he wanted to punch out my co-host because my co-host, Martin Streak, he was talking to Chris Cornell in the CFMY kitchen, which in the station when it was on 83 Kennedy Road in Brampton. And they were talking about musical influences. And Chris was asked by Martin, what are your music influences? And he goes, Black Sabbath, Zeppelin. And then Marty goes, wow, they suck. I grew up listening to Clash. and then Cornell got really pissed. And he goes, you say that in Seattle, you're going to get your head kicked in. And then Marty goes, thank God I'm not in Seattle. So there's always, you know, there's some artists are great to interview, and some you really have to draw out the information, because they probably heard the question 100 times, right? And it's probably not fun. They'd probably rather just tune their instruments and hang out backstage, right?
Who was one of your favorite then, Pete? Like, who opened up to you and really was honest and you walked away saying, I had fun with that?
Pete Shelley of the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
It was just so kind. He came, we had our studio downtown Toronto, your Honest Ed's, called the Edge of Bloor and Bathurst. And he came into, and I interviewed him, and I thought, well, here's a guy from the Buzzcocks, the first wave of punk rock, right? You got Sex Pistols, Ramones, you got the Damned, you got the Buzzcocks. And so I had him on this high pedestal of being part of the Buzzcocks, and he was just so kind and nice. And then afterwards he goes, so Pete, he actually remembered my name, he goes, Pete, you're coming to the show, right? Which was at Lee's Palace next door almost. And I said, I don't have any. I put you on the guest list. I'll give you backstage. You know, he was just so kind and generous. And awesome. Yeah, unfortunately, he has passed, but that's one that sticks in my head. And then there's ones that are so similar to what you would think they would be. Like, for example, the Ramones played Lulu's in Kitchener a couple of times ago. Lulu's used to be a Kmart,
right?
Made it into the longest bar in Canada at some time in the 80s. And the Ramones played there a couple of times. And I had the opportunity to not only interview them, but introduce them on stage because we were presenting them there at that venue. And it was just, I remember walking in and then the rep guys go to, and I see Joey and I see DD and I see Marky and then the label rep guy goes, radio guy's here. He goes, hey, and they all go, hey, radio guy. And they're all eating pizza. Now, if you've seen Rock and Roll High School, that's all they eat is pizza. All they had on their rider was pizza everywhere. So they're eating pizza and they're, you know, I'm trying to ask questions and they're just still eating. And I can't hear what Joey's saying or anybody else. Cause it's like,
hey, got a slice in their mouth.
You know, how do you like Kitchener? And it was such an honor because Ramones is my favorite band.
Yeah.
And
they're great.
And you know, I can't remember the questions. I just remember being really, really nervous. And I'd already been on stage at Molson Park and Barrie, Maple Leaf Gardens, you know, Molson, you know, every big venue in Ontario. I've been on introducing somebody for an Edge Fest or a Lollapalooza or something. But Lulu's, I was nervous to introduce and interview the Ramones. I was tongue-tied. And that was very telling of how much respect that you don't want your idols to be dicks, right? So I was conscious of not wanting to see that side if that was a side of them, and it wasn't, of course, but I didn't know that, so I was just very cautious.
Yeah, that's always hard, right? When you get to meet your, they always say that, don't meet your idols, they might disappoint you.
Yeah, and none really have disappointed. The ones that I've met over the years haven't really disappointed. The odd Canadian artists has really disappointed me if their ego's not in check. But other than that, like the international ones, they've all been fantastic, you know?
Wow. That's hard to believe. You'd think Canadian artists would not have like massive egos.
You would think so. But there's been one or two where it's like, gee, you know, are you kidding me? Like, why is Bono and Michael Stipe super nice and you're a dick and you're from Windsor, right? You're from Windsor, dude. Like,
need to check it.
Like, you need to check it.
Do we have any listeners in Windsor? Andrew, check that. Do we have any? We just
not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll know who I'm talking about.
Now, back in the early 90s, I was a big Husker Du fan. Right. And I know that you got the opportunity to interview Bob Mould.
Yes.
What was that like?
Bob Mould is another one of those artists that, and Husker Du and Sugar. And
yeah.
Like, I interviewed him when he was Sugar, right? For the first record, Copper Blue, came out. He did a tour, and then they did a tour for the second record too. He played the Phoenix, and he came in for an interview. And I went to the show too because I like Husker Du. Like, I really like Husker Du.
Yeah,
I loved Sugar. I thought those records he put out with Sugar were just amazing. Like, I only had a two or three of the Husker Du records back when I was in high school, and
yeah,
New Day Rising and stuff. And he's another one. Like, he was just fantastic. Like, he's soft-spoken. He's kind. I think if I was to interview him today, I'd ask him so many other questions that I don't want to say my immaturity, but my lack of, you know, for a better, you know, for, my lack of knowledge of what Bob Mould's done, because I've also read his book and stuff, but that was afterwards, where now it's like, oh, I would love to just sit down with him for a couple hours and just shoot the breeze, because I didn't do it justice back then. You know, I only knew what I knew, and I probably asked very typical radio questions, because back then there was no internet. Like, there was internet.
Yeah.
But in 94, there's no bands you can search on and get, you know, you're either buying Melody Maker, Alternative Press, Spin, NME to get your information. And that's what I did. And it wasn't good enough. But I just remember him being very patient, when some artists would have just rolled their eyes and go, you can't do any better. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I've always loved people like Bob Mould and Pete Shelley just for them tolerating me.
So, Pete, is that something that you'd like to go back and do? Cause I feel the same way, that now that, you know, you're a little older and you've lived more, and the questions you ask would be better, yeah, or different, more inspiring, et cetera. So, you know, would that be something you'd like to go back and do, and have more like of an interview show as well as the Lost Indy City, but have an interview show where the new Pete Fowler can say, hey, I didn't ask these type of questions back then.
Yeah. I, you know what? That's something I never thought about. I really do like conducting interviews. I've done a few with the Lost Indy City that I just did, you know, because I really love the artists, and they were just great. So I've done it with Stephen Stanley, I've done it with the Headstones, and I've done it with Northern Pikes. And where, you know, I'm trying to do deep dives, I do my research and then bring up, of course, feelings and experiences from my life to share with them. So it's really fun to do those things. It's just so many people do it better. Like, you know,
I think it's, yeah, it would be fun to be interviewed, but it's fun to ask the questions too. And sometimes, you know, when we listen back, because there's only a certain amount of time that we can keep people, and some people bring something up and I'm like, oh, we should go down that road instead of the one you choose, right? So,
yeah, because I would certainly listen to a 2 to 3 hour chat with Bob.
Oh yeah, with Bob Mould.
Yeah. So yeah, when you set that up, you let us know.
You know, you could do that yourself too, Andrew. You know, it's not like the old days where it's actually easier to get a hold of your artists, to get a hold of artists. And especially now when they're in the sunset of their career, this isn't when they were in their 20s or 30s, right? People are now, yeah, 50s, 60s, and early 70s, that having that deep conversation that you can never have on radio because of commercials and this and that and what corporate radio is. Now, this is the perfect opportunity for you to do that and then really, you know, think and prepare. What do you want answered, Andrew? Like, and what is, yeah, also interesting to the listener, but more importantly, what do you want to know? You know, it's, you know, you probably have a million questions for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, it's.
You sound excited.
You're right. No. I was trying to do the nice radio voice that you guys are doing.
Give up.
But I've lost. I've lost.
You know, I was just more excited when Pete was talking about the Ramones and eating pizza. I was like, it's up till last week. It was great because now Andrew doesn't eat pizza anymore during the podcast. We finally broke him of that habit. That's fantastic.
I'm going to go back to it. Now, if the Ramones can do it, so can I.
Oh, you're the Ramones. Go. And plus, they're all dead, right?
Okay, maybe they're not going to do the show.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Do you know how death works?
Have you ever sat down with a medium?
Do you know how
death... No, I've only sat down with a large. Do you know how death
works? That's the best one on the podcast.
That's horrible. I hate myself now for saying that.
I know, but there's all these little snippets that you could cut into. You know how death works.
Yeah, seriously.
You got to use that for promo. You got to have a promo, 1 minute promo bumper. So
that just says, do you know how death works? That will be it.
You are a moron. I think you have a speed round for Mr. Fowler, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Now, Pete, as you've been listening to our shows, you know that we like to finish off with the speed round. We throw a few different options. People get to know you a little bit.
The speed round's taking forever.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, it goes slow.
Can you get to this?
It goes slow. You know, okay.
Are you going to give him an example, though, right?
No. It's not happening now because that's going to take up too much time.
Okay. Mr. Sensitive.
Exactly. So I'm going to hit you off with the first question. Okay. Ball cap or flat cap?
Flat cap.
If you could go back in time where you could see a show, would you go to CBGB's or the Cool House?
CBGB's, Cool House. Are you kidding me?
Beach vacation or canoe expedition?
Canoe expedition. You know that.
Nice. Yeah. Music, jazz or funk?
Funk.
Microphones, we're talking Electro Voice RE20 microphone or the Neumann TLM 103?
Electrovox.
What kind of question was that? There's now like four people in the entire world that knows what you
that
just
knows
said.
That's a very popular broadcast,
but
on an radio station.
He knows what it is.
Yeah.
So this is about him. It's not about our audience. The rest of the things that are dog. Too.
My apologies for both
ice cream
of
or yogurt.
Record or digital?
Records, because they always sound better the first time around than any digital.
Hillside Music Festival or Peterborough Folk Music Festival?
Unfortunately, Hillside.
Unfortunately, what's going on with you, Pat?
There's a whole side question there, but
it's where I met my ex-wife, and now she's at.
Oh.
So, Hillside, because I've never been to Peterborough, and Hillside's always had some great artists. So,
you know, for sure.
You
just,
can meet more
just
wives.
Just had your ex-wife.
Yeah, I'll tell my girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over well. Yeah. So, aerobics or yoga?
Yoga.
Mexican or Thai? Now, that's food, not ladies, because both are great ladies.
What is wrong with you?
I have my days.
Pete, can I just put a plug in? If you ever need a sub on your show, I'd like to co-host with you, because I think this podcast is
You're leaving me?
I'm not leaving you. That last question just got us off the air. We're done now.
And you're never off the air when you're doing puppies. A podcast.
Oh, just you're a great
Mexican
Pat,
or Thai.
Talking about food.
Yeah.
That's all I'm talking about. I love Thai food.
Question down.
A little pad
We're
Thai.
Talking about
Thunder,
food.
New Brunswick. We're talking about provinces.
Yeah. All of a sudden,
okay.
you lapsed into some sort of time span there.
Well, it's the slowest quick thing ever.
Did I hear the answer, though?
Yeah,
Mexican, okay.
Did you just
and lastly,
did you put your finger up to the mic or the camera? What's wrong?
Nobody can see it. Lastly,
I can see it.
BMX or mountain bike?
BMX. Mm-hmm. See, I think that you know all those things just because of my Instagram.
Yeah, I can't believe that you actually BMX though.
That was your deep dive. His Instagram account.
Yeah.
What could be worse? What's next? You know what? It says here, Pete, on Wikipedia that you like to wear blue. Is that true? Tell our listeners. They all want to know.
Listen, I did that list at 11:30 last night, so I wasn't putting a lot of research into them, but it is specific to them.
You knew I was going to be here for 3 weeks in advance, and you did a deep dive, which wasn't a deep dive, late last night, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
What do you do? Are you unemployed?
Yeah, no, just unemployed. It's not unemployed. I do this show.
They just
don't pay me.
I, on the other hand, did a deep dive and did my homework. Now, Pete, I was just talking to your dermatologist, and I've got some questions. So be prepared to answer.
Thanks, Lance. That was great.
It's a cyst. Yes.
Now, this cream that you've just bought.
It's sebaceous. It's a hair follicle trapped.
Oh my gosh, this just went.
No, I think I found the BMX thing just very interesting. Back when I was 13, I used to love to BMX, but I can't see myself doing it now. I'm not sure that my body could even survive it.
Does he look like Elvis Costello?
That has nothing to do with it, but Elvis could ride a bike, but I'm not sure that I could survive on a BMX track. Now,
not with him as your massage therapist.
No, God, no.
Oh, it went full circle. I didn't even see it coming. This is almost like interviewing the late Norm MacDonald. I didn't see it coming. It circled all around. I thought I was safe because now we're focused on Andrew, and boom, right upside down.
Right back to Lance. He's
right
a professional.
Back.
He's a professional radio man.
I should have kept up with the dermatology question. That's the problem right there.
You know what? Right. When you mentioned it to Lance, I said yes. You know, when you, what do you call it? When people like whose line is it anyway, right?
Right.
A scenario is brought to you. You're supposed to say yes and go with it, right? For ad-libbing. So when you mentioned the, you being a dermatologist, I accepted by saying, yeah, I have a cyst. It's sebaceous. You know, it's a hair follicle.
You
I
needed to follow up.
Listen, that was all bullshit.
That's a popping question.
So you cut through all that stuff.
I did.
But eyes are awful.
I know.
And even though this is a shit show of an interview.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. He really interviewed the two of us more than we interviewed him.
That's the cop in me.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. That's It is a shit show of an interview. Are you kidding with our crackerjack staff of deep diving into Instagram accounts that anybody and their monkey can look up? That's great.
Like and that has been another episode of Backstage Lowdown.
Yeah, that Backstage has Lowdown. Been.
Thank you very much, Andrew Stewart. Lance Dawson, my guest today.
Yes.
Is bullshit. Please welcome us again. Oh. Once again, backstagebullshit.com is where you can hear all your, and we're on Apple Play.
Stage Lowdown.